All right, we're going to start off the way we do pretty much every Cowboy Church service. This last service of 2024 with I'll Fly Away. So if you could stand up, those who are able, and we'll fly away.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
It's good to be with you all in this last service of the year. I'd like to again welcome you all to this Cowboy Church, to this fellowship of believers. I'd like to start tonight by reading from Scripture, 1 Peter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3. So if you want to follow along, you can go to your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, who having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
I'm going to move to my message from God's Word, and I've entitled this one, Late for Christmas. Now, maybe I'm thinking about late for Christmas because I feel like I'm late for Christmas. As a pastor throughout my adult life, I've preached at least 4 Christmas messages every year. And this year, I've preached none until now, and Christmas is already behind us. So I feel like I'm late for Christmas. We're looking at New Year's, and normally maybe we'd preach a New Year's message, and this one I think fits both ideas, but I feel late for Christmas. But this is a common storyline around the Christmas time. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Well, let me just remind you of several stories that you probably know well from the movies. Who here knows It's a Wonderful Life, the old black and white classic that we watch every Christmas? George Bailey is actually thinking of becoming permanently late for Christmas. I don't know if you know the storyline, but that's how it goes. And then an angel shows up and shows him all the good deeds that he's done, and he decides to remain with the living, and he gets home just in time for Christmas. But the one of the things in the story that keeps us on the edge of our seat is that idea of he's not going to be there for Christmas. Maybe something more in the comedy lines. You remember Home Alone, the first one, particularly with little Kevin being left home. And it's not really late for Christmas, but he's going to miss Christmas, right? Because his whole family's gone somewhere else to celebrate Christmas. And he's going to, and so he, with the whole things with the robbers and everything around there, he tries to figure out how to have a little Christmas cheer himself. But then the storyline shifts a little bit too, as his mother and family have their adventures trying to get home on time for Christmas as they cancel their away Christmas to find Kevin and be there with him. And so that's all connected in there, being the tension is, are we going to make it to Christmas together as a family, or will we be late? In a completely different vein, we can think of a Christmas movie like Die Hard. And maybe you don't watch those kind of movies. Maybe you watch it every year like we tend to. But here again, you have an estranged husband and father who's seeking to get home on time for Christmas to make amends with the family. And at the beginning, you really don't have any faith in him that he's going to be able to make amends for Christmas. But then the criminals take over the office tower, and he saves the day and earns back the honor of his wife and Christmas. Well, we don't get to see Christmas in that one, but the idea is that he's on time for Christmas despite the hardships. Then we go back to another black and white movie, Miracle on 34th Street. And there again, here we have Santa Claus is going to miss Christmas because he's in jail. And as the movie progresses and he wins the court case and Christmas happens on time. You know, one of the things that's common in all of these stories that have become traditions in our Christmas, in our culture around Christmas, is that they focus around the idea of the naughty and nice list. If you've been naughty, you're going to be late for Christmas. If you make up for it for being nice, you're going to be on time. If you're naughty, it's going to be a bad Christmas, and so on and so forth. Even Kevin in Home Alone, he thinks maybe he's home alone is going to miss Christmas because he's been a bad boy. Now, there's all kinds of good things and full of grace and gift-giving and stuff in these movies as well, so they're not all bad, but there is that sense that idea that comes through, is it going to be coal or is it going to be gifts? And I think we have to be discerning when we take in these stories, that we don't become deceived by this deceiver and take on this idea that if we're good enough, God will accept us. And if we're not, he will reject us. Because that's not the story of Christmas. That is definitely not the story of Christmas. And that is, in fact, the story of so many of the stories that we see about where the plot has to do with, will Christmas be on time? as I've been thinking about this year, I've been thinking a lot about Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This is maybe the part of the story that we don't read as often as the Luke story, but it's there in our Bibles, and I'll read it to you now. Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is a different kind of story, but sometimes the way we tell this story fits the pattern I've been talking about. When we make a nativity scene, like this one up here, we tend to compress all of the gospel accounts into one scene. And we put the baby Jesus there, and we put Mary and Joseph, and we put the stable, and we put the shepherds and the angels, and we put the wise men and their camels all in one scene. And there's nothing wrong with that. I totally understand why we do that and think it's a good idea, because it puts all the elements of the story into one picture, so we can kind of be reminded of it and think about it all at the same time. But one of the effects that happens when we do that is that when we open our Bibles here to Matthew chapter 2, we get the impression, wait a minute. The Magi visited Jesus and Mary in a house. This was clearly later on. They clearly missed the main event. Were they late for Christmas? We even tell the story of Mary and Joseph with this kind of moralizing in mind. We think about Mary and Joseph as they traveled to meet the requirements of the census from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And we find that there's no room in the inn, and so they stay in a stable. And in our mind's eye, we kind of put a judgment on that, don't we? Well, everyone else got there in time and got a room. But they were late, and there were no rooms. And then we think of it sometimes in those terms, but that's not the biblical story. We're reading those kind of evaluations into the story that aren't actually there. We can be assured of that. If we read Romans chapter 5, verse 6, this is what we read. When we were utterly helpless. So let's just pause with that phrase for a minute. Jesus came when we were utterly helpless. We could do nothing to earn the gift. We were helpless. Now, all of these movies talk about earning, about the naughty and nice list, about being good enough, or about making up for the wrongs so that we get a good Christmas. But that's not the story in the Bible. When we were utterly helpless, Romans 5 says, Christ came at just the right time. Nobody was late. at just the right time. Now, we could read the details of each of these stories, but let me just summarize. I think you're familiar enough that I don't have to read it. Mary was visited by an angel. And the angel, or God, determined and sent the message through the angel exactly when the Holy Spirit would make her pregnant in such a way that her son would be both God and man. And God determined that. Mary didn't earn it. She said, let it be unto me as you have said. A humble handmaiden. It was exactly at the right time, as determined by God. Joseph had some inklings that things were wrong. His bride-to-be was pregnant, and the rumors were getting around town, and probably throughout the rest of their life, they never dispelled all of those rumors. People didn't believe. But the angel visited him as well and said, this is exactly according to God's plan. Take Mary as your wife and raise Jesus as your own child. No mistakes. No one was late. It wasn't because Joseph had been such an amazing man. It was because he was willing to hear God and obey. The shepherds had no idea that they would be visited. They had no expectation. They had done nothing to try to earn God's presence. But the angels came to them and said, tonight, if you want to worship, a king has been born. This was to show everyone that the announcement of God would go to the lowest of the low, the shepherds. To convince the people that you didn't have to earn a seat before the king. You could be the lowest of the low, and you were welcome. And then the Magi. They came from afar. We don't know where. We don't know exactly how. But they came as soon as they saw the star, as soon as they saw a message from God, a God who they did not know. And they followed. And the star, it says, even after getting the advice from Herod and the scholars and the wise people of Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem, even still then, the star showed them exactly the place. They were exactly at the right time at the right place, according to God's design. You know, Herod and his advisors tried their best to deceive the Magi. I think they almost succeeded. It seems to me as I read the story, though it doesn't say exactly, that they were planning to go back and share the place at which Jesus was until they got the dream that sent them in a different direction. This brings me into mind a different verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. 6 to 9. So then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceitful philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. That last phrase is Christmas, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form in Christ. That's the whole Christmas story in one short sentence. But just before that, we have this warning. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies of this world. The Magi were susceptible to that deception. They found a way around it, and I think by their story we can get some pointers as to how we would not follow the deception of this world. I tried to share with you how many of the very popular, common, and stories about Christmas that we look forward to every year in the movies, though there's good in them, there's deception in them too. And we can be led astray if we're not careful. So we need to keep our guard up. I want to share with you, just briefly in closing, several things that I see in the Magi that might help us to avoid deception. The first thing is the star. Now, I'm certainly not in favor of astrology and looking at the stars for understanding about the world. But whatever it was that those Magi were doing, they were not looking for direction right around them in the news headlines and in the cultural icons and in the arguments that were going around them in their city or their town, wherever they were. They were seeking for something that lasted before and after the petty arguments right here. They were looking for direction at something that was more lasting, more eternal, in the stars. Now, whatever it was that they were doing, their hearts were in a place that when God sent them a message, they saw it and they understood it. They didn't understand much. They couldn't have told you the gospel or anything like that, but they understood to follow because this king that had come was of greater significance than anything else. So they were looking higher. They were looking at things beyond the arguments and the teams and the sides and the politics and the celebrities around them. And that would be good advice for us, to look higher, to aim higher for our direction. And of course, we know that we look to God's word and to his eternal truth. The next thing that I see in the Magi is that they were willing to change their life. They went on a journey. Their life was disrupted. They weren't home for Christmas, even though they didn't know anything about Christmas. But you can kind of say it. They left home. Now, that doesn't mean that every one of us is going to go on a physical journey if we follow God, if we want to follow deception. But we need to be ready and understand that there's going to be a cost to being different than the world around us. There's going to be a cost to not just accepting the stories that our culture is flooding on us, that the devil would use to deceive us. There's going to be a cost. There's going to be a journey of some kind. It might be an internal journey. It might be a relationship journey. But God changes us, and it requires movement on our part of some kind. Are we willing to take on that cost? Another thing that's very interesting about this story that we kind of pick up sideways, but we see here that all of Jerusalem was thinking and talking about this king that had come that the Magi were talking about. In other words, they didn't keep their search to themselves. It wasn't just Herod that heard. In fact, the whole city was in uproar about this story that the Magi were giving, and that's why Herod invited them into the palace to try to perpetrate his deception. They shared widely that they were searching for this king. That is one of the best things you can do to avoid deception, and this is how it works. If you share widely so everyone around you knows that you're searching for Jesus in your life. Now, you found him, of course, but even after we found him, we still search to know him more and more and better. We're still searching. We're still opening his word and looking and learning and searching to know him more. Guess what happens if everybody knows that's what your life's about? When you fall off the trail, they remind you of it. Sometimes the non-Christians are better at that than the Christians. Because you know what? They're not afraid to call you a hypocrite. And when people who don't believe call you a hypocrite, say you're not following the Jesus you claim to follow, you probably should pay attention. But if they don't know your search, it'll keep you honest. It'll keep you from deception. That's what the wise men did. They shared widely what they were searching for. It's interesting, there's no record that they gave gifts to Herod. They gave their worship only to Jesus. give your devotion, give your worship, give your attention, your full attention, the place where you will bend your knees, both physically but also metaphorically, only to Jesus. And then stay sensitive to God's direction. They could have gone back to Herod. It was only a dream. But they didn't mind going a different way. And there was a cost there too, right? Because what happened when they went a different way and went home by a secret route is they got no credit for what they found. It remained secret. If they'd have gone back to Jerusalem, they could have been lifted up high. They could have been praised by all the people. They kept it to themselves. They didn't need the praise. And that is so often why we fall into deception. Because we want the world around us to lift us up and make us and give us compliments. But the Magi were willing to just go off quietly, secretly, and never be recognized for what they found. I think there's some lessons in there for us. It is a story of deception as Herod and his advisors seek to deceive for evil intent. But these men from afar, we don't even know what happened to them after that. Give us some pointers. Aim high. Be willing to go on a journey that is going to cost you something. If you don't want your following of God, your following of Jesus to cost anything, you'll probably fall to deception. Share your search. Let people know that you're looking for Jesus every day in every way. Worship only one thing. Give your gifts, give your sacrifice only to God, only to Jesus. Stay sensitive to his direction because the path may change. What you thought was we were going this way and God might say now this way. And seek not the praise of this world. Follow these things as the Magi did, and I think you will avert a lot of deception, possibilities of deception in your life. That's the thing about deception. You think, when you've been deceived, you think you're on the right track. You think you're on the straight and narrow, but you're not. The fear of being left out at Christmas is a repeating story because it tends towards the same things that we're tempted towards. We're always tempted to think and ask, am I good enough that God would love me? Christmas tells us the opposite thing. No one is righteous, but God, and no one can take steps that get us closer to God. And God, in Jesus, in the manger, has come all the way to us. It's not intimidating to nail before a manger with a baby in it. And that's the kind of God we have that comes all the way to the place where he's not scary to us anymore. And we can worship him there. That's the beauty of Christmas. That's the cautionary tale of the Magi and how to avoid deception along the way. As the musicians come forward, just let me pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this beautiful message. You could have come in so many different ways, but you came in a way that is so easy for us to accept, so easy for us to understand. Thank you for coming all the way so that we don't have to rely on our works, because we know from your word that they are worthless. And we love you all the more because of the grace and mercy that you have shown us. Amen. May the God who gave us this year and the Savior who walked at our side each day and the Spirit who filled us with life abundant grace the coming year with peace and hope and joy. Amen.
Amen. Whoa. Oh, everybody's looking. Everybody's getting ready. They think they know what's happening, but we're going to ask you to, before we sing the Cowboy Blessing, we're going to ask you to join us in singing "Draw Me Near," because as the pastor said, there is no way that we can get closer to God. That's why God had to send His Son, and we hope that all of us will be praying to God and asking that He would draw us near, both as a church and as individuals, to Him this year. Draw me near.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, dear blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. I, thy soul, look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. God gave you gentle horses and an even trail to ride. Pure water, greener pasture, and a good friend by your side. May you always have protection from the northern winds that blow. Good friend by your side.